Yesterday, we started out by looking at the Word of God. As stated in the book of Acts, chapter 1, and specifically verse 8, where the Word of God says very clearly, "But you shall receive power after." The key word is after. "That the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses unto me. Not just for me, but witnesses to me. And you'll do it in Jerusalem. You do it in Judea. You do it in Samaria. You do it in the utmost parts of the earth." By the power of the Holy Ghost. You and I are in a word of faith church, so to speak. Pentecostal. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And most churches started out believing in the Holy Spirit. Whether it be Methodists or Baptists, Mennonites, it doesn't matter. You mention it. Lutheran, they started out believing in the Holy Spirit. Even the Pentecostal church, what we call the Pentecostal church of today, started out believing in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you go to our churches, the presence of the Holy Spirit is very, very, very faint. Because we have not stayed connected. We've taken the Holy Spirit for granted. And that's the danger that faces every one of us as God's people. We can take things for granted. Yeah, well, we speak in tongues. Great. Hallelujah. I can take you to Africa. I can take you to South America. I can take you around the world. And I can show you people that worship the devil that speak in tongues. We pride ourselves that we are Holy Spirit filled because we speak in tongues. I think one of the greatest mistakes we've made as a church is that we have put so much emphasis on the evidence of speaking in tongues, rather than the evidence of a changed life. So what do you mean by a changed life? Oh, yeah, I can tell you. One day, Peter is there by the side of the fire and is busy denying Jesus. "I don't know him. What are you talking about? Why are you accusing me of knowing this Jesus? Who do you think you are? I swear." But on the day of Pentecost, that same man that was shying away from knowing Jesus stands out and begins to speak boldly. Because when the Spirit of God comes into the life of a man, his life is changed. Fear is cast away and boldness is established. We live in an age and in a time when it is more important for us to be politically correct, socially correct, rather than be God correct. I suggest to you, and do more than suggest to you, that the evidence that we are a Holy Spirit-filled people is that we are not politically correct, but God correct. That the evidence that we have the Holy Spirit is that we have the fear of God rather than the fear of man. The Holy Spirit. If we ever needed anything from God, it is the ever-present presence of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Because that's how we get transformed. I don't know who put this in here. Somebody take that out of there. We need God in our lives. I don't know about you. I need God more today than I've ever needed him. The more I know the Word of God, the more I recognize that I don't know. The more I should feel adequate, the more I feel inadequate to preach the Word of God. Not because I am not holy in the presence of God, but because I recognize day after day that the more I know him, the more I get to know that I don't know him the way I should. The more anointed I feel, the more I sense that I'm not anointed. Because his promise is, you shall receive power. How great is that power? Is there any way I can quantify it, measure it, qualify it? Not if the Lord says to us, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. And when he went to the Father, he made a promise, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the person that's going to remind you of the things that I've taught you. The things that Jesus began to do and teach. My cry to the Lord today is this, that I want to be able to do the same things. And not only to do the same things, but be able to teach the how to do. It was at Pentecost, or Shavuot, that God formally, officially gave to the people of God the Torah, the Ten Commandments. That was the beginning of it. And from there, he started adding, and we have all the books of the Pentateuch, five books, all of that restated and put together. At that time, God, in Exodus chapter 19, talks to Moses. He says to Moses, check with the people. Are they willing to come? Do they really want to know me? Summarized. Yeah. We want to. So he says to Moses, tell them to sanctify themselves, separate themselves, In other words, make themselves holy, worthy to come to me. But the amazing thing is, when Moses goes up and Moses comes down, God tells Moses, tell them not to even touch the base of the mountain because they're going to die. God wanted them to come close, but not too close, because they will die. That was Pentecost in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he tells them, separate yourself. Go wait for me. And they set up themselves in the upper room, in a higher level, and God comes there and meets with them there, and nobody dies. Because God is a God who progressively is working out to bring about change. If he did it then on the day of Pentecost, what does he want to do now? Because I suggest to you, by the Spirit of God, that God is not just calling us to an upper room to wait for him so that the flames of his presence comes and rest upon us so that we can begin to speak in tongues, and the tongues that other people will understand in their particular language, and I'm going to come to that, but that God wants to go beyond this point and take us to a dimension of authority whereby we reign and rule by the authority of the living God and shake this world just like he did at the very beginning. They tell us the people, watch this, they saw the thunder and heard the lightning. That's different. You're supposed to hear thunder and see lightning. But they saw thunder and heard lightning. You know what that means? That means that God wants to bring us to a place where we are going past the natural. It's natural to hear thunder, not to see thunder. It is natural to see lightning, not to hear lightning. It takes another dimension to bring you into a place where you begin to experience God in another sphere. May God, the God of heaven, take us all, every one of us, to begin to experience him not in the natural, but in the supernatural. Because the supernatural envelops the natural. It is beyond natural. There is a place that God wants for me, that God wants for you. First time only Moses could go up, but this time there was 120 people. 12 is a number of governance, of government. 120 represents complete government. And the government shall be upon their shoulders. And what have we done? So-called Holy Ghost-filled people. We've run away from being ones who are occupying until he comes. We teach ourselves, don't be involved with politics. Who said we should not be involved in politics? Was Daniel a politician? Of course he was. But was he a prophet of God? Yes, he was. Was Moses a politician? Of course, he was a leader. What about Joshua? Every one of them led. But we've taught our people, don't be involved with government. And so therefore, we have a whole bunch of people who do not know God legislating for us, and then we complain. Look at what the world is coming up to. Yes, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, be involved. And bring the Spirit of God into the common arena so that people hear the heartbeat of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We say we're filled of the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. But nobody understands. But on the day of Pentecost, when they spoke, everybody understood what they were speaking in their own language. You say, how is that possible? They were all speaking in tongues. But God was involved in taking those words and translating them to each individual. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you've been traveling around the world, and everywhere you go, you need somebody to interpret for you. I said, yeah. He said, but I tell you, son, one of these days, you're going to speak in English, and they will understand you in their own language without an interpreter. I say, oh, is that possible? He said, absolutely. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were speaking one language, and everybody was understanding the language in their language. Because God was directly involved in everything they were saying. They were separated to God. And God was able to use their voice. Tradition tells us that when God gave the Ten Commandments, he spoke the very first two himself. And it was too much for the people because they were dropping dead. They were raised back to life, tradition tells us. But Moses began to pronounce the rest of the commandments. But when he spoke it, it was like God speaking them. We are in that place again where we will hear men speak, women speak. But when people hear it, it will be like God speaking. Devils, we know God just spoke. People will know God just spoke. In every language, in every place, that is what Pentecost is all about. It was 74 or 75, early 75. A man of God had come to our city. He sent another young man that happened to be an uncle to me. I didn't know him, but I was told he was an uncle. We're related somehow. It sent him ahead. And this young man came and ministered at our church. And then came his pastor. His name was John Azeke. John Azeke was going to play a very important role in my life down the line. But when he came, he started talking about this Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I was in a church that believed in the things of the Spirit, but I had not made the connection. This man was that tall, but he was a very well-dressed man. This guy knew how to dress up real good. Nice sharp suits, nice shoes, bald guy, but a firebrand. And I watched this man ministering. I said, I want what he's got. What is that then? Holy Spirit. I want it. I want it. I want this Holy Spirit, God. I want it. And I remember being on my knees. I can see myself there now. In this room that we call strangers' room or guest room, you call it here. I'm kneeling down there and I'm crying out to God. What is this Holy Spirit? I gotta have it. And the next thing I saw and heard, I was speaking in tongues. I was speaking in tongues. I said, that's that thing that man was doing. I was speaking in tongues. And my eyes got opened. And it was like there was a broadcasting station, and I saw all these demons running helter skelter all over the place. We don't know what he's saying, but it looks like he's saying, we are in trouble, and they are running all over the place. I said, I like this thing. Holy Spirit, I like it. I want this Holy Spirit to operate in my life, so scatter devils all over. After that experience, I got up. I had a neighbor next door, this lady older than me. She came to me, she said, I heard that you're a Christian now. I said, yeah. What about that? He said, will you pray for me? So I remembered what pastors do when you want to, when you ask for prayer, they say, kneel down here. So I said to her, I said, kneel down here. So she knelt down, and I laid my hands on her, and demons started crying out, taking off. I said, hey! What was that? Demons are taking off. What kind of power is this? I thought it was just speaking in tongues. No, there was something more than that. Jesus said, you shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, what kind of power? The kind of power that cannot be stopped by the enemy. Cannot be stopped. You become unstoppable. Nero found out, trying to kill Christians, that there was a power that was greater than powers. Because the more he was killing Christians, the more people were getting saved. How are people getting saved while I'm busy killing them over here, putting them amongst lions and wild animals to tear them apart? How come they're getting saved over there? Because you cannot stop the Spirit of the living God. When the Spirit of God is loose in a nation, in a community, nothing can stop it. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, not only in our churches, we need it in our cities, we need it in our country, we need it in our world again. Not political correctness. Because when the Spirit of God comes, it operates beyond my talking. It convicts men and women deep within them. And they will cry out in repentance. Because the Spirit of God convicts. Convicts. If we are inside the church and we are not being convicted, how can we boldly say the Holy Spirit is here or there? We know he's everywhere present. But is his power released unto us? It's a question that we must ask ourselves. Pentecost. That's a Greek name for the feast called the Feast of Shavuot. Shavuot primarily is an expression time of thanksgiving to God. Pentecost is called also the Feast of First fruits. First fruits is that which we bring to God, and when we bring it to God, causes everything else to be sanctified, to be separated, to be blessed. Therefore, this feast is a feast when we honor God in it, causes everything in our lives to come into the place of the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord that causes us and makes us rich without sorrow added to it. Pentecost is the feast of harvest, or the feast called the Feast of Weeks. Feast of Weeks because it is 7 weeks, and a week is 7 days. And it starts counting from the first day after Easter, or it is 7 Sundays after Easter, and so it becomes the number 50. 50 represents Jubilee, a time of freedom from every form of indebtedness. Praise the Lord. So this time is a time that God frees us from every form of debt. My prayer, my declaration over every one of us is that this Pentecost will be the beginnings of freedom from every form of indebtedness, every kind of debt, whether it be debt in credit cards, mortgages, of whatever form, that God will bring us to a place where supernaturally we break free from every kind of indebtedness. Let it be so. In the name of Jesus. If you receive it, say amen. Yeah. Amen. This Pentecost must be different for us. There's a reason God called us to this place, to convocate at this time. Because He has a perfect plan, a perfect purpose for every one of us. You're not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. We are here by divine appointment. God wants to do something new for every one of us, for you and for your family. Somebody shout hallelujah. Your future is being sanctified today. Glory be to God. I say your future is being sanctified today. The blessings of God will pursue after you and overtake you this day henceforth in Jesus' mighty name. Every agenda of the enemy will be brought to naught. Because this day, in the first Pentecost, when the Torah was given, was when God declared over Israel, you are a nation. You are free from Egypt. You are a nation. And these are the bylaws. On Pentecost, right there in the upper room, God reigned on His people and He birthed the church. It was a time of supernatural birthing. May God birth us as His church today in Jesus' mighty name. Not by our might, nor by our power, but by His Spirit. They were there, all scared, afraid. But he that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming, where it's going. And so on the day of Pentecost, there was a mighty rushing wind. God was saying, from this day, nobody, nobody, nobody can stop you. Hallelujah. 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 on the day of Pentecost, God knighted his sons and his daughters, and he sent them with power. Not just with an instruction, not just with an authority, but with power. Pentecost signified the beginnings of the establishment of the grace of God on his people, where they could boldly say, I am a son of God. So what do you mean? For the word of God says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that day was the beginning. Jesus was not there telling them to go do this and go do that. You two of you go over there. No, from that day, when the Spirit of God came, they were all led by the Spirit of God. Their sonship was established. May this day be the day that God establishes you as a son of the Most High God. Led by the Spirit. As many as believed in him, to them he gave the power to become. We believe, he gave us power to become. But when we got led, we were declared sons. And the Bible says, all creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I say in Jesus' name, this is our hour, this is our time, this is our moment to be manifested. The world has been waiting for us. Now we must be manifested to the glory of the Most High God. Somebody shout hallelujah. There must be a manifestation. We are not going to hide in a room. We shall be heard in every nation. Somebody shout hallelujah. Pentecost is about a harvest of fruitfulness. But how can we be fruitful? What makes us fruitful? Our Lord tells us in John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. By so he was saying, just by implication and application, that there are vines that are not true. He says, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the one that takes care of this plant. Goes on and says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What? Every branch in me. He didn't say every branch attached to me. He said, every branch in me. Is it possible to be in him and not bear fruit? That's what he said. That I can be in him and not bear fruit. Why would that happen? How can I be in him and not be fruitful? What could possibly cause such a thing? He said, he taketh away. He takes it away. Because God will not tolerate unfruitfulness. God will not tolerate unfruitfulness. It is not acceptable because it is not God-like. Put your hands on your head and say with me, oh my God, I cannot be unfruitful. Unfruitfulness is not like you. I am created in your image and in your likeness. And if fruitfulness is like you, then unfruitfulness cannot be in my life. Therefore, this day, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare every form of unfruitfulness to be eradicated out of my life. I must abide in you. I cannot be taken away from you, for outside of you, I am dead. Lord God, I want life. I must live. Therefore, I must be fruitful. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare now, I am fruitful, supernaturally fruitful, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Every branch that beareth fruit, every branch that beareth fruit, that word, bearing fruit, has two aspects to it. Bearing means to produce fruit, but bearing also means to carry, to bear something, to carry. Every branch that carries fruit produces fruit and carries fruit. Those are two things that God calls us to. To be able to produce fruit and to carry fruit. You say, what do you mean by producing fruit and carrying fruit? When you carry fruit, you are serving. When you carry and you bear fruit, you are serving. You are helping to bear other people up. You are holding other people up. You are serving them. You are helping them to be whatever it is God wants them to be. Which means that you are not just there just for yourself. What would you call a mother or a father that gives birth to children and isn't there to serve them? You call that person an absentee father, an absentee mother, or a child abuser, and whatever else. That's what we'll say. Would that be right or not? Well, when we lead people to Christ, we lead them to Christ and recognize that from that very moment, they are our responsibilities. I was saying to a friend of mine just the other day, I said, you know what? When we first had children, we thought well, we have the children now, and then when they get up to 18 and they go to their homes, they are on their own. And I found out, no, if you're a father or a mother, you will always be a father and you will always be a mother. Whether they are 80, they're still your baby. Somebody listening? You're still responsible. He says, the people that bear fruit, he purged it. I was going through Napa Valley in California and also Niagara. And they have grapevines. And they purge them. After they produce fruit, they were purged. They were cut back so that they can produce more fruit. Somebody told me a few years ago, he said, when you have tomato plants, if you want to have bigger fruit, you should go and nip off some of the flowers. That way, there's a concentration on the ones that you left alone. They produce bigger fruit. God does the same thing because God is about big. It's about fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is not just about abundance, it's about quality. He purged it that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now ye are what? Clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That is important. He's talking about the vine and fruitfulness. And then he says, now you are clean through my word. The word I've spoken unto you. Because fruitfulness without cleanliness is not God's normal. God wants me clean. And he wants me fruitful. But he doesn't want me fruitful without being clean. So he said to the first, right there in the book of Exodus 19, he says, clean up. Clean up. Get yourself clean. Then you can come. Sanctify yourself. Verse 4 says, abide in me. This is fundamental. Abide in me and I in you. Oh, so this is the secret. Any branch that is in me that beareth not fruit. Now he says, abide in me. So we have that equation. And I in you. Oh, so that's a problem. The problem about not being fruitful is about us wanting to be with him, but not giving him the license to be in us. That's a problem. We want God and his blessings, but we don't want God to take rule and reign in our lives as individuals. That's too much power. I have to have control over my life. What I do, where I go, what I say, I have to have control. I have to have control. Well, if you want to have control, you cannot have the Holy Ghost come into your life and cause you to be fruitful. When they spoke in tongues, it says, as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's why you cannot teach people how to speak in tongues. Yeah, just say, la, 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 ba, 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 shika, la, la, ba, ba, ba. Okay. Yeah. Now you got it, you got it, you got it. No, they don't got it, nothing. Who taught them in the upper room? The Spirit of God gave them utterance. Nobody came to that room while I was kneeling down there and say it. No. Nobody told me that. I was speaking in tongues all by myself because the Spirit of God gave utterance. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Serve of itself, produce of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And the way to abide in him is for him to abide in you. For if he does not abide in you, you get the snip, snip, snip all the way. Not partial, all the way to the stem. Off. You kaput. Is there anyone here today that will say, God, I don't just want to abide in you, I want you to abide in me. I don't just want to know you, I want you to know me completely. Every room, every crevice, everything, I'm giving you total license to enter any room, enter any place, do whatever it is you want to do, because I totally belong to you. Therein lies the secret to what will change not only our lives, our families, but our world. Me abiding in him and him in me. This is total partnership. Total partnership. Locked in. I in you and you in me. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. That's important. Know who the boss is. He that abided in me and I in him, the same, bringeth forth much fruit. We started out with more fruit. Now we've gone to what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nada. Nothing. You can produce nothing without me. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them. In other words, man will then have power over them. Oh, that's amazing. Man now has power over them, and man casts them into the fire, and they are what? Burned. Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words. Oh, so that's how he abides. With his words abiding in us, he says, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. This is the benefit. We abiding in him, his words abiding in us, staying with us. He says, when my words are in you, you get to ask. I've been praying, but God is not answering. I don't know why. Well, is his words abiding? Or you think it's the crying that's going to change God's mind? No. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So that's how we let God abide in us, by his word. He just told us. Oh, so if I want God to abide in me, it must be that I embrace his words, believe it, receive it, embrace it, obey it. That's how he gets to abide in me. And when his words abide in me, I can now then ask what I will. Not what God wills, what I will. Because I'm going to ask it based on the knowledge of the fact that I know what his word is. I'm not going to ask God, oh God, help me to go rob the Bank of Montreal in Jesus' name. You think God is going to answer that prayer? Come on, I'm sure there are thieves that pray like that. Oh God, in this our endeavor today, let the cops not see us. Crazy prayers that people pray. Sounds funny. But people pray crazy prayers like that. Oh God, I love that man. I know he's married. Kill the wife so I can marry him. You say, people don't pray to God. Oh yeah, they pray those kind of prayers. What planet are you on? People pray all kinds of crazy prayers because the word of God does not abide in them. They are not praying based on the word of God. But when the word of God abides in you, then you get to ask what you will. And he says, and it shall be done unto you. Let's look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. How? That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. What? I get to be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ because God is glorified, because I'm bearing much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Yes, yes. If you continue in my word, you get to know the truth, and the truth that you know makes you free. Wow. So shall ye be my disciples. So shall ye be my disciples. Hold on to that thought. So shall ye be my disciples. When? That you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So shall ye be my disciples. So shall ye be my disciples. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye continue. Well, that sounds like if you allow my words to abide in you. Because you're continuing. You are abiding. You're sticking with it. It says, the result is that you're going to be my disciples. But the result of that being disciples is that because you allow the word of God to abide in you, you become fruitful. And what happens? God, the Father, is glorified. God is glorified because you allow his word to abide in you. But you are allowing the word of God to abide in you because you continue in the word. See, the problem is a lot of us don't know how to continue. We don't know how to stick with the program. We are easily distracted. I'm not sitting because I'm tired. Elijah says to Elisha, "I just want to be eye level with you." Says to Elisha, "If you see me being taken up, then you will have what you're asking me for, the double portion of my spirit." So you've asked a hard thing. If you see me being taken up, then you get to have a double portion of my spirit. If I ask a hard thing, first thing that strikes me is, hard for who? Hard for Elisha, or hard for Elijah, or hard for God? Who is this going to be hard for? And here they are. They've crossed the Jordan. They're on the other side. And all of a sudden, a chariot of fire. A chariot of fire comes and separates both of them. This is the time for me to start looking at the chariot, because I've never seen this. Elijah, I've seen. Where is he going to go? He's still going to be there. So I will look at, oh wow, and Elijah will be long gone. But Elisha says, I don't care how flashy you are. I'm sticking with the program. I'm going to look at Elijah. And when Elijah takes off, he cries out, that's not the deal. I can see you. I see you. But if he was looking at the chariot, he would not see him. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying to continue in the word. To abide, allow the word of God to abide in us, we must deny every distraction, everything that seeks to distract us, no matter how important or how amazing that distractor is. It cannot capture our attention if we are going to be people that abide. Isn't that amazing that the phone doesn't ring until you really want to pray? And that's when the phone rings. That's when something else happens. That's when all kinds of thoughts start flashing through your mind. You're in church, you're here to be focused. Oh, I wonder, did I turn the oven off? Distractions. Distractions. Put your hand on your head and say with me, Lord, help me to overcome every distraction that wants to separate me, disconnect me from abiding in your love and in your word. I give total access to you, O God, to your word, O God. Take full control, reign supremely in my life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And finally, tomorrow I'll share a little bit more with you in boat service tomorrow about Pentecost. But let me wrap up by saying to us that this feast of Pentecost is one of those key feasts that God says to us, especially to the men, don't come before me empty-handed. Why? Because there are three key feasts. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacle. I might have mistakenly said Atonement yesterday. That's different. The Feast of Tabernacle. That God says for everyone to come. And when they come, they don't come empty-handed. Because this is a time that He elects to bless His people. At Passover, He's declaring freedom from bondage. At Pentecost, He's pronouncing the blessings of the earth realm into your life. At Tabernacle, He's pronouncing the blessings of not only the earth, but the heavens. You say, what do you mean? That's why the Feast of Tabernacles, when Jesus talks about the sower of the seeds, and that He did, the fruitful land produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. 30 represented Passover. 60 represents this one here, Pentecost. And 100-fold represents Tabernacle. Now, this is amazing. This is interesting. In another passage representing the same thing, God starts out with 100, 60, and 30. But there's one that remains constant. 60 hits Pentecost each time. If you say 100 and you put it at Passover, Pentecost will still be 60 and Tabernacle will be 30. Flip it, it's still the same. This is a very important time for sowing. It's a very important time for you to sow your best. Because this one, are you ready? I didn't hear you. Are you ready? the Torah was given on a particular day, the sixth day of the month of Shivan. Sixth day. Somebody say sixth. On the sixth day was when man was created. And God said to the man, be what? Be what?
Fruitful.
Be fruitful. Be fruitful. We have two more days, today and tomorrow. Tomorrow is actually starting now till tomorrow. Is the Feast of Shavuot. It's a one-day feast in Israel. Among the diaspora, those that are scattered, it's a two-day thing, but primarily a one-day thing. Today, tomorrow, I want you to prayerfully consider what it is that you're going to release into the hands of God. And say, God, I am bringing this Pentecost offering. Pronounce your blessings on my life, on my family, on everything that I do. Grant me the grace to have dominion. Are you with me? Dominion. See, I'll talk a little bit about this tomorrow if the Lord lets me. Man was trying to build a tower to reach out to God, and God scattered them. And different languages came about. But on the day of Pentecost, God brought people from different languages together, and God spoke through his disciples, and everybody heard in their own language. At the time of Pentecost, God gives you and I access to a world. Place your hand on your head and say with me, Father, give me the grace to reach the world with your love, with your word, with your praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for every one of you. I thank God for the privilege accorded me to share the word of God with you today. It is the grace of Pentecost, the grace of the presence of the Holy Spirit that has made it possible for me to go across the world. From where I was to where God has brought me through these years, I cannot say it was by my might or by my power or by my ability, or by my resources, that I've done any of it. It's all been because of a God who says, I will take you if you will let me lead you. And God can take you from the back of the line and straight to the front, just like that. I was in a country last year. saw this lady. She'd come to talk with me about some things. And I began to tell her about what was about to happen in her life. How she was going to begin to preach the Word of God powerfully. She says, "Me?" I said, "You. I've lived a terrible life. My parents would not let me come close to preaching. You talking about me?" I said, "Yeah, you." When I was in Dubai, I heard that same woman preach. I got a text from her just before I came here. "I'm going to be speaking on Pentecost to a congregation." Know how big the congregation is? 20-something thousand people. Someone say Holy Ghost. You and I are more than what we think. If God chooses to use your life and you allow Him, you cannot explain how far He can take you, where He takes you, and how He gets you from point A to point B. It's not explainable. In my 40-something years of knowing the Lord, I get surprised so many times. How, God, why did you let me see that? How did I get to know that? God is about to surprise every one of us. Amen? If you just receive it, you'll be surprised. If I open my eyes and or my mouth and start telling you things about the Holy Spirit, you say, "No, that's not, come on. No, that didn't happen." All I can tell you is this: God is more than what you and I have experienced. And God can take you places behind the veil, and let you hear discussions that natural ears have not heard. If I tell you the things that God has taken me through the years, you guys have not seen anything. You just see pastor here and you just preach to us. You've not seen nothing. Someday some of you will travel with us and then you see what God does. And say, "Huh? So it is like this, eh?" God brought you here, not so that you can just sit down, but so that you and I can be transformed. Because that's what Pentecost is about. It is transformation. Transformation. Whew. Who wants to be a millionaire? Hallelujah. Who wants to be a millionaire? Hallelujah. Who wants to be a millionaire? Hallelujah. Who wants to be a millionaire? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You missed it. You missed it. Don't miss it another time. Do you think I just started singing that song for nothing? No. I was just talking to you about the move of the Spirit. And then I started singing about who wants to be a millionaire. And nobody in here stood up. And right in your heart, there are many people who want to be millionaires, but they did not stand up. If I were you, I would have run out. It's too late now. Don't do anything because it's not here anymore. That's the time that you take off and run up and you say, me. And God would have just given it to you. Oh, somebody did. Online. Receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I shall hear your testimony. Amen. When you're in the house of God, understand, that's the teaching point for all of us. Understand that anything can happen, even when it looks really silly. I was saying to somebody, to a congregation recently, I said, when God is speaking quietly, that's when he's speaking most powerfully. God is not in my shouting. God is in, and he is in the shouting too, but God is in the quietness. That's when he is most powerful, when God speaks quietly. That's when you want to tap it. When the service is most boring, that is the most powerful service. You might say, no, it's when the pastor was jumping and somersaulting and running all over the place. That's when it was really powerful. Hallelujah, we're all excited. Nah, it's when it is most quiet. When something powerful is happening quietly, that's when you need to tap into it. When it's like the message is going on and you want to sleep, that's when God is most effective. Because if you can fight that sleep and rebuke it, you have abided and something connects with you. Distractions, remember that? Mm-hmm. Anything that distracts, when there's distraction, that's when you need to really, really connect. I said everything I need to say. That's it. Let's honor God with our giving. And let's prepare ourselves with the eyes of faith to tap into the greater purposes of God. May I give you a suggestion? Will you be open to a suggestion? This is 50, is it? Pentecost is 50. My suggestion would be, give something that has to do with 50 and more to connect, to remind yourself, I connected with this grace of debt freedom and fruitfulness and increase and reaching the nations, because Pentecost is about that, isn't it? Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. You too. Love you. See you tomorrow.